John chapter 4. You know, I want you to know, if you're one of those who marks where the preacher preaches from, I preached from this text back in February of this year. But that's okay. I didn't go back and look at this message. This is not a rehashed message, okay? This is a renewed message, if you will. God has placed this on my heart, and I could not get rid of it this week. So, not that I want to get rid of it. But John chapter 4, verse 27. How many of you like to eat? Will you just say amen? Amen. Man, there are some food that's just good, isn't it? Have you ever had food that just, it was so good that it almost fed your inner person? It almost reached to the soul. I mean, have you ever had turnip greens that just changed your life? I knew that would get you. It's funny, as a kid, I didn't care for them, but I like them now. I don't know what happened. But anyway, we're going to talk about soul food today. The title of the message is Soul Food. John chapter 4 and verse 27. Would you stand with me as we read God's Word, standing in honor and respect of our great God. Verse 27. And at this point, His disciples came, and they marveled that He talked with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" Or, "Why are you talking to her?" The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to Him. And in the meantime, His disciples urged Him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But He said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought Him anything to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Do you not say, 'There are still 4 months and then comes the harvest?' Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look. Look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered to their labors." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Father, we pray today that you would open your word to us such as we've never seen before. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our very souls. Speak to us, Lord. Convict of sin. Draw all men to you. Father, for those who are lost in this service today, I pray that today will be the day that they come to you for salvation. They will experience the great love that you've shown toward us. Move in a mighty way, Lord, among us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus said, "I have food of which you do not know." I have food of which you do not know. Now, to give you a little background on where this text comes from, just prior to what we read, Jesus has been sitting by a well in Samaria, or near Samaria, in Samaria. And His disciples, who were traveling with Him, have gone into the city to get food. And while He's sitting there by the well, you know, Jesus never done anything by accident. While He's sitting by this well, this woman, this Samaritan woman comes in the middle of the day to get water. Now, nobody drew water in the middle of the day. That was unheard of. You either did it in the cool morning or the cool evening, but not in the middle of the day. But this lady had a reason that she didn't want to go in the morning or in the evening. It's because she didn't want to see any people. She didn't want to face the stairs. You know how we are, right? When we see somebody that we just don't quite accept, we just kind of look at them like, what are you doing here? Well, this lady would have been that kind of person that wouldn't have been accepted by society. She was divorced. She wasn't just divorced. She had had five husbands. Five husbands. I mean, you'd think perhaps this lady couldn't get along with anyone. I don't know. Now, this isn't a message on divorce. That's not what it's about. But it's a message of looking at people. Jesus went to that well to see this lady. And He began a conversation with her and asked her for a drink of water. And through that conversation, Jesus brought out the fact that she had been married five times. And the man that she was living with at that time was not even her husband. She would have been the lady that everybody looked down on. That when she walked by, whispers would have gone among the crowds. But ultimately, Jesus had a good spiritual conversation with her. And I believe her life was changed. I believe she was saved because of her interaction with Jesus. Now, where we picked up reading, the disciples have returned to find Jesus speaking to the woman. And they're thinking, whoa, what's Jesus doing talking to this woman? Well, you have to understand, this was wrong on a lot of different levels. First of all, it was considered inappropriate for a strange man to talk to a woman in public. Right? Unless it was family, you did not speak to women. That was unacceptable. Right? Second reason was, it was the kindest person that she was. Like I talked about just a moment ago, she would have been the sinners of society. Right? And so people would have looked down on her. Third, she was a Samaritan woman, and no self-respecting Jewish man would have anything to do with the Samaritan woman. So they see Jesus talking to this woman. Like, what's up with this? But they don't dare say anything because, I mean, after all, this is Jesus, right? You're not going to correct Jesus. So they just say to Him, Master, eat. Eat. And when they said to Jesus, eat, Jesus tells them, I have food of which you do not know. Now, I want to stop right here and I want you to understand that word know, what it means. It means to be aware of or to experience or to understand. So what Jesus is saying is, man, I've been experiencing a feast and you don't even realize it. Jesus introduces the concept here of soul food. Right? And the key of soul food is that it's something that nourishes the very soul of the believer. Now, you know, I asked you a while ago, have you ever had that exceptionally good food that you could just feel on the inside it was so good? That's what we're talking about, except we're talking about a spiritual level. Jesus has taken the time to talk to and converse and help this woman by sharing the truth of the gospel. And she goes away excited. She goes into town telling everybody in town, come see the man that told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Christ? But the funny thing is, she wasn't the only one blessed. Jesus was blessed. That's why He said, I've had food that you don't know of, that you haven't experienced. I want to tell you, if you want this spiritual soul food, one thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to go places that nobody else wants to go and talk to people that nobody else wants to talk to. You know? I mean, here we are. Jesus has picked the most unlikely subject to turn His attention to. It's very easy for us to gather together with God's people and support one another as believers. What a wonderful family atmosphere that is. But you know what? We are more than just a meeting place. We are a people designed to go out there and make a difference. We are a people that has a need for soul food. You see, Christians today are searching And I say this lovingly. They don't know what they're searching for. They're searching. They go to church thinking, okay, I go to church. That's going to be my spiritual responsibility. And then they become disappointed. Well, maybe I'm not living right. So they try to live better. And that doesn't fill the hole. Something's missing. So they think, man, I'm in the wrong church. I got to change churches. There's a church over here that plays music I like more. So I'm going to go over there and I'm going to listen to their music for a while. And they go and they go for a couple Sundays and it's like, okay, something missing. They sit in church with long faces, frowns and scowls, and here I am, Brother Dale, bless me. Here I am, preacher, entertain me. You don't get it. There's food that you do not know of. What is that food? I'm glad you ask. That food is making a difference in the lives of other people. That food is introducing the gospel of Jesus Christ to other people. You see, there's a soul feeding. Have you ever done something for someone and where you turned your attention to somebody who maybe they didn't deserve it or you didn't even know whether they deserved it or not, but you turned your attention to them and you did something for them and you left? Remember how that felt? You walked away feeling like, man, I'm more blessed than they are by what just happened. That's what we're talking about here. Jesus said, boys, I've had a buffet talking to this Samaritan woman. I've had my soul filled. I'm here to do the will of my Father. That's my point. Often today in Christianity, people think it's about going to church. It's not about going to church, although I don't want to discourage you from going to church, right? Going to church is wonderful. It is. Music. It's not about music. Although music is wonderful. And let me say, boy, I was so encouraged to see people praising the Lord today. That was such a blessing. But there is a soul food that you will get not in church. You will not get in a song service. You will not get in a sermon. You will only get it when you decide, I'm going to go where nobody else wants to go, and I'm going to do where other people do not want to do. It's soul food. You see, that's why I introduced to you the last few weeks on Sunday night. Hey. Share with me what God's doing. Do something for someone. Show them the love of Christ. Share Jesus and then email me. Remember that? You say amen. Remember that? I want to tell you, y'all blessed me. Y'all blessed me. Thank you. And the design of that is so that I could get you to see there are opportunities out there if we would just look for them. Okay? Too often we think, well, everybody I know is saved. I go to church. I do what I'm supposed to. No. We're here to make a difference. Lift up your eyes and look at the fields. It's the challenge. Lift up your eyes and look at the fields. You see, having explained this soul food that Jesus was trying to get His disciples to understand, likely as not, they don't get it. What's happened is as Jesus is conversing with His disciples, the woman runs to town. And she runs into town and tells all the men, come see this man who told me everything I've ever done. Come see. And so they come with her back to see Jesus. They want what she has. Jesus looks up and sees a multitude coming toward Him. You know what He says? Lift up your eyes and look at the fields. Look at the fields. You see, they're not seeing. The disciples have gone into town and they've come to bring Jesus physical food. And Jesus is not worried about the physical food. He doesn't need chicken. He doesn't need catfish. He needs soul food, where He knows He's made a difference in the life of somebody else. And so as this multitude's coming toward Him, Jesus is saying, "Hey boys, quit worrying about food and look, look, look. The field. See the field. They're coming at you. See it." You see, believers today don't understand or don't experience this soul satisfaction because they don't understand why they're here. Most do not. Jesus said, "My food is to do the one of the will that the will of the one who sent me." Do you know? Do you know? You're not here to have daily prayer and devotion. That's really, really good. I'm not discouraging that. But let me tell you, if all you do is, if your claim to fame is, "Well, I read my Bible an hour every day and pray every day." Big deal. You're not here to read the Bible through every year. Don't throw anything at me. Okay? I love you. Reading the Bible through every year is a wonderful thing. But you are here to make a difference in the lives of other people. And you can know all the Bible by heart. You can know every spiritual song by heart. You can pray an hour every day. But beloved, if you don't take what you get out of this book and put it out there among the world to bring others to Christ, you don't get it. There's more. And people are starving. You know what I've discovered? I've discovered now more than ever what a blessing ministry is. There's opportunity everywhere we look. We're here to make disciples. Yes, we have an ulterior motive. You know, anything we do has the intent of bringing people to Jesus. And that's okay because you're here to make disciples. You're here, you know, I call it, I'm here to help with intent. I'll help you, but I intend to bring you to Jesus. Let's don't make any bones about that, right? I want you to know Jesus. I want you to know the joy. There's plenty to do, is my point, if we'll just look at the fields. I mean, there are plenty of saints that need encouragement. We have saints with health issues that need a phone call. Saints who've lost loved ones who need a phone call or encouragement. Saints who are just hurting who need to be encouraged. See the field. See the field. I'll tell you why. Another reason why I wanted you to email me with what God had done in your life this week and past few weeks. Because it's been a tremendous, you will never know the encouragement it's been to me. This week, I'm not sure how many emails I received, but suffice it to say, a lot, okay? And I want to tell you, good job. Thank you. What did it do for me? As a pastor, it told me that our people are taking their position in Jesus Christ seriously. Right? I want to tell you, as a pastor, I get up here and preach each Sunday, and I don't follow you around. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing. And so, I don't know if people get it or not. And sometimes, you know how we pastors are, right? Sometimes we kind of get downhearted and say, "Man, you know, I don't think they're listening. I don't think they get it." I know we shouldn't feel sorry for ourselves, right? I get, but we do. Let me tell you about this week. I had emails of people talking to people they had never talked to before. I had emails of people helping people like they've never helped before. I had emails of people comforting people like they've never comforted before. And again, you know, people said, yeah, I don't want to brag. You're not bragging. You're just talking about what God is doing in your life. That's called a testimony. Amen? When you're talking about what God's doing in your life, you're not bragging, you're testifying. As a matter of fact, we're going to have a special service tonight. That's all I'm going to tell you. I want you to understand. We're here to make a difference. And Jesus gave us a wonderful example when He said, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me. Making a difference in the lives of other people. You see, most people think, I'm not that gifted. I can't make a difference. You never understand what just an act of kindness does. You'll never know when you hand out a tract. You'll never know what that gospel tract did in the life of that individual until you get to heaven. Won't it be cool when you get to heaven? When you have somebody come up to you and say, thank you. For what? You are that person that gave me a gospel tract. That stranger who gave me a gospel tract and I read that tract and come to know Jesus as my Savior. Wouldn't that be cool? It won't happen if you don't give anybody a gospel tract. Right? See, it's our job to sow. We're here to sow. So, beloved, let's sow. The fields, see the fields, for they're white unto harvest. Jesus said, in closing, I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. There at the end. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. You know what Jesus is talking about there? He's talking about a heritage. He's talking about a heritage. A heritage of laborers that ever since Jesus' day have faithfully sown the seed down through the ages. Do you realize we're here today because the sowers of the past? You know? We're here because somebody took the time to care and sow some seed. Men like Peter, James, and John. Peter, who preached on the day of Pentecost and called them to salvation, and 3,000 souls were added to the church. Isn't that awesome? Peter had to preach. Men like the Apostle Paul, who was run out of every city he ever preached in. But I'll tell you what, churches were scattered everywhere because of his ministry. People in more modern times, people like Billy Graham. I don't know how many people have believed in Jesus Christ because of the ministry of Billy Graham, but wow. That's all I can say. Wow. See, they knew our job was to be sowers. In this church, victory is victory because 30 years ago, 30 plus years ago, somebody decided, hey, it's time to sow. They started a church. And they had Sunday school teachers and faithful pastors and people willing to come and serve and work even when it was hard and they had to make self-sacrifices. It's called sowing. Now today, victory has come such a long way in 30 plus years. But it's because people sowed. And I want you to understand today, you are joining or you are part of an awesome army. That it is indeed a privilege to be a part of. Jesus said, I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. Victory today is not victory because of this pastor. I've simply entered the labor of the other pastors that have come before me. Victory is not, there's no one person here that can say, well, I made victory what it is. No, you've just simply entered into the labors of everybody else for the last 30 years. But let me tell you something, you are in excellent company. And your position of sowing is just as important today as the Apostle Paul's was back in his day. Oh no, I'm not an Apostle Paul. I didn't say you're Apostle Paul. I'm saying you're here for a reason, and that reason is to make a difference in the lives of other people. Last thought. Beloved, there's still a harvest. We talk and we talk about how bad things are. There's still a harvest. God is still as powerful as He ever was. We serve the same God today that was the God on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 souls were added. God has not lost His power. The church has not lost her power. We are here to be a light to the world, to lead all men to Jesus Christ. We are here for a little longer. Now I believe we're coming to the day. I think we're this close. Jesus, come. Even so, come. But you know why He hasn't come yet? Because there's still harvest to be gathered. Right? Just do it. I remember as a child, growing up on the farm, it would come harvest season. Boy, come harvest season, we'd get out there and we would work to get that harvest in. We'd try to beat the winter rains, you know. And we'd get out there and we would work so hard to get that harvest in, because if once it starts raining, you know, the fields become a mess. The fields become hard to harvest. You've never had real fun in a harvest until you try to pick up rice that's on the ground. That's tough, you know. And we hurried because we knew there was coming a day when we could not harvest. It would get too cold, it would get too much bad weather, and you just lose what was left in the field. That's why we got out there and got with it. Beloved, according to the signs of the times, Jesus is coming very, very soon. We have several of our adult classes teaching the book of Revelation now. I'm very thankful for that, because I think it's right now, it's the time for that book, right? But don't make any mistakes. We're not gone yet. We're still here. So while we're here, let's work that like that farmer who knows there's coming a time that we can't work anymore. There's coming a day when God's going to say, "Son, go get my children." And Brother Ken's often reminds us, you know, the one thing that we can't do in heaven? Tell somebody about Jesus. Because everybody will know about Jesus there. We've still got time. Let's take full advantage. Let's be a light. Let's share the love of Christ. There are still people who need the gospel. I want to close. That's the third time I've used that word, isn't it? I want to close with this thought. There's a heaven and there's a hell. Okay? There's no in between. You're not going to go someplace for somebody to pray you out of some kind of halfway house between heaven and hell. There's heaven and there's hell. Okay? And you're going to spend eternity in one of those two. Let me tell you. You're not going to go to hell because you're a sinner. You're not going to hell because you're a sinner. You're going to hell because you rejected Jesus Christ as your Savior. You see, we all are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to understand today, and I don't care what you've done. Brother Doug, I've been really, really bad. Join the crowd. Probably most everybody can say that. But your badness does not exceed the sacrifice that Jesus made on your behalf at the cross of Calvary, where He died, crucified for your sins. And He did it because He loves you. He loves you. Jesus was taken down from that cross. And He was carried and He was placed in a borrowed tomb. They sealed that tomb. And there He lay for 3 days. But let me tell you the good news of the gospel. Jesus didn't just die for you. Jesus rose out of that grave for you. And because He lives, we too shall live. If you know Jesus as your Savior. But if you don't know Jesus, you have no hope. Hell is real. And that's where you're headed. But Doug, what I do about it, very simple. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You just pray today, knowing that Jesus died for you to pay for your sin. He took your punishment. Knowing that He rose from the grave and today is seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting your call. And I promise you this, on the authority of the Word of God, if you will ask Him to save you today, He will. Romans 3:23. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you come to Jesus for salvation? Maybe you're here and there's another issue. Maybe you've strayed. Maybe you've forgotten your purpose. Maybe you have turned your back on your faith. Whatever your problem is, Jesus has you here for a reason. Will you fulfill your purpose? Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we need You. We count it an honor and a privilege to be Your servant. Help us, Lord, to faithfully sow with every day that You give. Help us, Lord, to share the gospel with this world at every opportunity. Help us, Lord, to see. You've surrounded us with people who need the gospel. Help us to boldly testify of You. To tell them of the love of Jesus. Now, Lord, today in this invitation, I don't pretend to know hearts. Only You know hearts. And so, Lord, I pray Your will be done. Pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.